How are you?
Tony, great to be with you this morning.
Well, glad to have you back. Before we start talking about the special, which is real apropos for what's happened, wanted to get your take when you heard that Osama bin Laden had not only been killed but taken out by U.S. forces.
Well, I think it's great, and I think it's a remarkable demonstration of American capabilities. Unfortunately, the political and PR component that the Obama administration included in it divulged things that we didn't need to tell the enemy. It's still happening because you got people in the administration now divulging intelligence that, quite frankly, it would be better if the enemy didn't know what we had. And on top of it, it jeopardizes what friends we do have in places like Iraq, Pakistan, particularly, because we need friends out there. And it jeopardizes our opportunity to get back to
Oliver, we in the media are always screaming, yeah, we want information, and the people want information. Why don't we protect that stuff more?
Well, when we used that same SEAL team, it was then designated as SEAL Team 6 back in 1983 in Grenada, 1985 with the Achille Lauro, the capture of the hijackers who hijacked the cruise ship Achille Lauro and murdered Leon Klinghoffer. And Ronald Reagan's only comment afterwards was, "Well, I want to tell the terrorists, you can run, but you can't hide." Never divulged exactly how it was done, didn't put at risk the people who helped us make it happen, didn't tell the enemy things they didn't need to know. And this administration, in their effort to take high fives and chest-thumping victory laps, has now put all of that in jeopardy. You now got people like Senator Kerry and even Dick Lugar saying, "Hey, declare victory and go home." I point out, you could not have conducted this operation without bases in Afghanistan. We've got similar capabilities in Iraq. It's a clear message to the Ayatollahs in Tehran who are building nuclear weapons and those who've already got nuclear weapons in Pakistan. As long as we've got these bases, we can act. Without those bases, we couldn't. And we need to make sure that the end result of all this isn't losing all the friends that we've got because we can't keep our mouths shut. And number two, losing the ability to conduct them because we shut down the bases.
If George W. Bush was still president, do you believe he would have given out this much information?
Well, let me just put it this way. No one has ever done it before except a guy named Jimmy Carter in the aftermath of Desert One back in 1980, who then went out in the full, "Gosh, this is a terrible thing. Here's how we did it. Here's what we did." That's the only other time that I know of that any president has given up the kind of information that we achieved on this May 2nd operation. I think it's unconscionable.
Why do you think that the U.S. takes this stance that in times of war, especially against enemies who are relentless and don't follow war laws and tribunes, so why do you think we try to play it a different way? It boggles my mind that we think we have to go to war and can have no casualties.
Well, I think that there's, quite frankly, we've got colleagues in the media who are very anti-military. And when any administration starts an operation, you have this expectation, one, it's going to be bloodless, and number two, it's going to be over tomorrow. A lot of that goes back to George Herbert Walker Bush and the 100-hour war called Gulf War I or Operation Desert Storm. That's not realistic in today's world. Second of all, no one ever ought to say my war was tougher than your war. But I do point out that the casualty rate in this war is the lowest of any war we have ever fought. And that's not to say, there's been over 1,400 Americans killed in Afghanistan since this began a decade ago. There are over 35,000 Americans who've been wounded in this war in just Afghanistan alone. And so I'm not taking anything away from the extraordinary courage and commitment that the American soldiers, sailors, airmen, guardsmen, and Marines have made in this thing. But the reality of it is our media and, quite frankly, some of our politicians have created unreasonable expectations. And now what we've done is we put at risk the relationship that we've got with people who are committed to winning this war out there in the region because they're asking, wait a second, the Americans are going to bail out on us? Maybe we ought to cut a deal with the Taliban. Maybe we need to be closer to the radical Islamists in places like Yemen and Bahrain, in places where we really do need friends. I mean, think about Bahrain, the headquarters of the Fifth Fleet, and Obama getting up and giving speeches to, quote, the Muslim world that doesn't address the real problem, and that's the Ayatollahs in Tehran and the kind of regime we've got in Damascus and the kinds of terror being perpetrated by Hamas and Hezbollah on both sides of Israel, and not addressing that but instead given one of these kind of Pollyanna, oh gosh, if everybody can just be nice to each other, defies the reality of the world.
Oliver, how do you respond to those folks, and I know you hear it a lot, that's why I'm going to ask you the questions, who say people who support war just trying to help the economy, they're just trying to take over lands for oil, they're just trying to keep a machine going to give relevance to their existence?
Look, I've spent almost 2 years in the field covering these young Americans. I've never met one of them that went to war for oil or gold or colonial conquest. They go because, one, they know that the American people are at risk, and number two, they want to give others the hope of the kind of liberty that we have. They fight for an idea. That idea isn't the economy. It's for the safety of the American people and that concept of individual liberty. The best ambassadors we've ever had don't wear pinstripe suits. They wear flak jackets and helmets and flight suits and combat boots, and they go to work today in places like Kandahar and in Helmand Province, where it's 120 degrees already today. I've already talked to a couple of guys out there this morning. And I will tell you, they are absolutely remarkable Americans. And for them to be depicted as anything other by our colleagues in the media is unconscionable.
Before we talk about tomorrow night's program, why do you think there's such a fascination with war stories? And is this something that kids can watch?
Yes. I mean, we don't show on my broadcast the bodies of dead people. You can tell that people are being shot at. You can tell sometimes people get hit because they're right next to me. But we don't show the faces of dead Americans. We don't show the faces of dead bad guys. And what we do is we let these American heroes tell their own stories. These are the eyewitness participants that I keep company with, that my helmet cam is on. We've agreed up front with Special Operations Command we're not going to put somebody at additional risk because we divulge their name or their face or show the enemy things they don't need to know about tactics and techniques, procedures, special weapons and equipment. And we let the American people see the American heroes as they really are, and they are heroes.
Oliver Stories, War Stories with Oliver North is really going to be a special show tomorrow night at 9 o'clock because it's called War Stories Afghanistan, American Special Ops. Was this show already planned before Osama was taken out, or did you speed up production?
We've been in production now for this show since I got back last November. We did get special, because we were waiting on clearance for some of this footage. We got it in the aftermath of what happened on May 2nd. I am in New York at this moment. I'm going to go from this conversation back down to our edit bay, and what you're going to see on Friday night are some of the most remarkable world-class athletes using some of the most extraordinary technology in the world, demonstrating incredible courage and remarkable skill with unique equipment that otherwise, nobody's ever seen before. It is reality television the way it's supposed to be, my friend.
The difference between a normal soldier and a Navy SEAL is a special ops soldier.
Well, they're volunteers twice. They volunteered to join the service as a soldier, sailor, airman, marine. They've then volunteered again to become part of the special operations unit. They've been trained for an additional 2 years on the unique equipment and the capabilities that they've got. And then they go to the field, so they're older, more educated, brighter, and extraordinarily tough. The tenacity and perseverance and physical capabilities of these guys is awesome, and so is their ability to think on their feet, and they're all part of a team. It's not Rambo. It is the kind of people who know that they're part of something bigger than themselves, and if they don't pass that part of the screening, they don't make it. So you're going to see some absolutely astounding elite soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, in this operation you'll never see again.
Oliver, before I let you go, tell me what you saw that blew your mind or that was unique on your last trip out.
The extraordinary ability they have in the midst of something that's really adrenaline pumping. I mean, you know that you're being shot at. They know that they're encountering possibly IEDs that are going to take their legs off, and yet they go after these things with extraordinary skill that preserves the lives of innocents. And that's why this capability that we've got as Americans to screen for this kind of person, to put them into these kinds of units, to be able to think on their feet, adapt on the ground, to be able to have the situational awareness and use this extraordinary equipment is so unique on the planet. The ability that we've got to find these kinds of Americans and to put them in the field in these kinds of operations is unparalleled in history.